Oh,
Hey, what's up, guys?
hi, how you doing?
Good, hey.
Mystery guest. We got the guy. I'm just gonna call him for now, the drone expert, the
Yeah.
drone secret agent, consultant. So I don't know. I guess you saw one of our podcasts and you were interested in joining us. And we're really stoked about that. So thank you very much. We have some questions. And there's some real concerns we've noticed. So let's just let you tell everybody who you are if you want to, or you could keep it secret. That's cool too.
No,
Yeah,
we're gonna promote.
the mystery guest for the night. Yeah, you know what? Whatever. We could play either way. I've been in the industry for about 7 years now, or since before it was an industry. And I've had the privilege of working with some really, really good companies, and pretty much all aspects of the industry, from aerial photography to working with the best freestyle and race pilots in the world. And now I represent a couple of other different companies. In this industry, the one thing that I've learned is it's really hard to work with just one company and be able to make ends meet as a father and, as a family. You've got to spread yourself as widely and sometimes as thinly as possible to make it. So yeah, I'm here to help and happy to answer any of you guys' questions. And
Trey, your background interests me because you've got a global perspective on the drone sector, right? You've worked across the world, right?
yeah, pretty much I have. And I haven't been to a lot of different locations, but my clients range definitely globally, from from Canada to South America and all the way to China and Russia and everywhere, pretty much. Yeah.
So how many, I mean, how would you compare, because are you in California right now?
Yep.
So how would you compare like North America as far as how we've evolved compared to somewhere like China or Southeast Asia?
We're way behind, at the rate that China is going right now with their development and the technology in this field alone, it blows us away. We're so far behind when it comes to statistics in the drone industry and on the drone market.
When, do you think we're making mistakes, or are we actually learning from where the Chinese have taken this industry?
Both. We're making mistakes by not hopping on the bandwagon and getting in on the innovation, and letting all of that pass up. But at the same time, we are learning from the Chinese companies' mistakes. And it's not just Chinese. There's other companies out there that are involved in this, other countries, should I say. but it doesn't really matter how much we learn from their mistake if we're not taking the forefront on the manufacturing aspect of this. We're just essentially standing by and watching them, make mistakes on their own and going, "Oh, wow, look what they're doing," while at the same time not doing anything ourselves to, pitch in or fix the things or come up with things that are there that are needed. There's very few companies in the United States alone that are on the forefront of the drone technology. Alex Grieve or Video Aerial Systems is one of those who has been in this industry before it was an industry, and still to this day comes out with new tech and new antennas and new stuff to better this industry.
What's holding us back? Is it cost, or is it just lack of education because it's newer to us? What's holding us back right now?
It's not cost. 4 or 5 years ago, if you wanted to build a drone, everything was $100. If you wanted ESCs, it was $100. If you wanted motors, it was $100. If you wanted FPV system, it was $100. So the cost of the components have actually decreased dramatically. Now you can get a set of ESCs for under $50. You can get a set of motors, a decent set of motors for $50. You can get a new FPV camera that has really, really good quality for 30. So the cost of everything come down quite dramatically. As far as what's holding us back, as far as the US, I think it's just, man, everything is so expensive to make over here compared to how it is in China, you know. And I know that the cost of living in China has gone up quite dramatically. So to say that pushing all the manufacturing over there is just cheaper isn't exactly true. Their cost of living is pretty close to what ours is, you know. So I don't really know what the holdback is. I just know that I hate to see it from a Patriots perspective. You know, I hate to see the fact that we're letting so many jobs and opportunities go to different countries, and not just China, but all over globally. You don't see anything American made anymore.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, we've been looking into it, like, the Drone King's new to the whole FPV world, right?
Yeah, it's definitely super, super new. But to like add on to what he was just talking about, what I've noticed, and maybe what I think is holding things back, is everybody's like super hush-hush and they're keeping their cards close and like just trying to see if there's something that they could capitalize on it. Because like from what I notice as a blindfolded rookie, it's more like the Wild West, right? And it's a big pissing contest still. Like, people haven't been very, very embracing of me. I don't know if it's because I call myself the Drone King or because I fly DJI. Like, I'm dying to get into it, but it's a murky struggle to find out what's real and what's the smartest, safest way to go about this.
Well, to that statement, I think you could be right on with both. You know, the Drone King is a hell of a title. You know, that's kind of something that you would expect to go to somebody like Sharpu or Tommy Tabahi or something like that. You know, not some cat who's flying a Phantom. You know, but that being said, you know, there's a lot of really, really good aerial photography pilots out there who not only fly Phantoms, but fly hardcore FPV as well. So you definitely can't take anything away from Phantom pilots. You know, they're not all Best Buy shoppers. You know, a lot of those guys are actual professionals.
This is what I love about you as well, because reading your articles, as we do in our profession, we do our research, right? And I like the fact that you're very impartial. You're kind of like pro FPV, but you also, you know, I've seen you do advice columns on DJI and stuff. So you cross both worlds too, which there's been kind of like this separation from what I've seen between the two. But actually, they're both great, right? They both fulfill a purpose of their own.
Yeah. You know, You're right. You know, I have a passion for photography. So I've flown aerial photography for the longest time. And to be honest with you, that's why I got into this. I built my first drone 7 years ago specifically to go out and take beautiful pictures of where I was living at in Arizona. And I was flying out, and I'll never forget this, man. I was flying out, and I flew up to the very tippy top of this spire in Sedona, where I was like, oh, this is just absolutely beautiful. And this guy was sitting up there meditating, and he gave me this little nod, like, just letting me know, I see you, what you're doing is cool, but don't bother me, you know? And it was like, we just connected, you know? And I mean, he never saw me, you know? He just saw my little drone, and I immediately flew away, didn't bother him, never came back. But it was just, I don't know, man. It was just something that clicked in me that was like, all right, there's so much more to this than pictures. And that's when I just started, like, I really found a passion for flying.
What it was for me, hold on, I gotta cut him off
before I forget about it. But I had like the same moment for me, because where I come from, like, it's a super sacred, pristine land, and it's like the second biggest rainforest in the world, right? So as the Olympics and people moving here has really like become a real nuisance to us, like hillbillies that are from the bush, right? Like, that's realistically how this place used to be, like the Dukes of Hazzard for me. So when I flew my drone up for the first time and I looked at my town in a whole new perspective. Like before, I was sour, I was pissy, and I'm like, more, my poor town is falling apart. And then I got up in the canopy, man, and I'm telling you what, I saw what it looked like 200 freaking years ago here. And I was like, wow, if I could really just use this moment that I'm feeling right now to capture people's attention and to feed, to like get them really interested in what I'm doing and not tell them that I want to use my drones to protect this place, to help people. But like, that's what my whole idea was while I was sneakily just making videos and learning stuff top secretly on my own and storing it now. Now it's public, everybody knows, and like my journey was just like yours, man. That's really cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who have very similar experiences in this, in the sense that their first few flights was just such an emotional experience for them on whatever level it was. For me, I had this dream whenever I was probably about 6, 7 years old. I'll never forget this. I'm 42 now, by the way, but I remember this dream like it was yesterday. I to make it real short, I was flying around, in this field. I'm running around with my buddies, and I'm like, "Hey, watch what I can do!" And I just jumped up and I started flying. And that dream was like, man, it stuck with me so hardcore. And I couldn't be a pilot because I have a fear of heights. So, flying drones like really not only helped me combat those fears, it helped me connect with so many other personal experiences. And it has, by the way, helped me combat those fears. When I first started flying, I couldn't get above the treetops. I literally would have freaking panic attacks. I'm not kidding you. I would have panic attacks. I would have to land and take a break. And then I would go up again. And then I got to 50 feet. And then I got to 100 feet. And then I got to beyond 100 feet. And it was tough, man. It was like really, really tough and quite the experience of growth, of personal growth, to get over a major, major fear like that. I mean, this is a fear that's kept me from getting on airplanes, and now I fly all over the world.
No way.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And it's all because of and thanks to drones.
You know what's super like harsh, warmed my heart when me and you were chatting the other day was like when I was like I kind of get wrapped up in my passion and like telling people about what I'm doing and like what how I got here now because I'm kind of getting used to it. So I said some things that and like I almost get really teared up when I think about it even, right? And then I said it to you and your first response or your first response back was you're preaching to the choir, brother, and you told me about your injury and I was just like, wow, this is really cool for me,
Yeah, man. It's so many things that that really help people like us. Zoe Stumbaugh, Zoe FPV is a great, great example of that. I mean, she had some really, really personal injuries that not only affected her on a very deep physical level, but spiritual and mentally as well. And she'll tell you, she'll be one of the first ones to tell you, man, that drones saved her life on so many different levels and has helped keep her sane and has helped keep her physical. So it's not just you and I mean, there's those stories are so abound in this industry, and that's another thing that helps me stay here, helps me appreciate it, and helps me love and feel connected to every single one of these different pilots.
Yeah, you know what? What since my journey began, and I stopped just seeing it through my blinders, through my pain, and through my mental illness, I started my world started opening up to not only like social media because I learned about it and I've studied it and I've become really good at understanding it now, but it's helped me like counsel me almost meeting more people going through what I'm going through and it makes me feel like I'm less alone in the world, you know what I mean? So for me, this is like it's not just about drones. It's just about giving people exactly what drones gave me. Like, what I want to be doing with all this is I want to be spreading a better message. I almost want to be like the lightning rod of positive, because like sitting in medical facilities and hotels and watching the internet, like you're almost bombarded with so much negativity. And I was just like, one day I was like, I started going out and meeting homeless people and like sharing meals with them, because I'd been homeless, and at least I'm in a hotel room with a doctor's facility taking care of me at the time, but like really interacting with those people and like going through my struggle and seeing that and like, wow, like if I could help one person, like I really feel like I've accomplished so much in my life at this point. And it's really just flourished from that. And I've been watching Zoe FPV. I've been a fan of all you guys, Top Secretly, just doing my thing. And like recently things really changed and I got a little bit of backbone to me, because a lot of people have been giving me some good feedback. So I took a big risk and I reached out to you, and we're reaching out to Zoe too, actually hoping if she would do something like this with us, that'd be really cool, which is awesome.
Oh, yeah, you can count on it, man. Zoe is one of those people who is always on one of the first to jump on a bandwagon when it comes to helping this industry grow in any way, shape, or form. That's another thing that I love about all these guys. There's very few people in this industry who are going to say no, you know, to whatever it is that you need. You know, you need new parts, man. They're going to freaking dig something out or pull a drone apart if they have to. I've been to races where guys are giving each other parts to help them compete. And these are guys that are competing against each other, you know, and I give you a part and you kick my ass and I'm going to give you a high five, man. I mean, that's just... It's amazing. You don't see that in anywhere else.
Yeah, I've seen some pretty amazing events where, like, you don't really know who's who, but you think everybody's just family. And, like, I haven't got there yet. Like, I started my journey with just, like, a basic, like, little mini drone. And it's just evolved from that. And people donated these Phantoms to me, which I'm grateful for, because I didn't even want one in the beginning. You know what I mean? I was like, no, I need to be sitting on a back patio FPVing. I don't want to be around people. And like the Phantom has made me more outgoing, but it ignited a creative aspect of my life that I was missing tremendously, because I couldn't play sports and I couldn't work hard anymore. So I'm super grateful for DJI for that. As much as I wanted to just be FBB, I'm kind of want to be everything, and I kind of want to help educate and help any way I can, because drones saved my life. So I'm in it to win it. Haters, no haters. Love, no love. I'm just doing it, bro. I'm just doing it.
That's all you can do, bro. You know, and I think that the hate between FPV pilots and DJI pilots is slowly starting to fade away. To be honest with you, a lot of the guys that I go out and fly with, man, whenever we usually take two backpacks. One has our DJI Phantoms or Mavics or whatever, and the other one has all our FPV equipment. You know, we do that because we know that, you know, flying FPV is fun and aggressive, but you're not going to get that badass, beautiful sunrise or sunset shot with a mini drone.
Yeah. So I've been, obviously, I try after all the lessons I learned in the last 8 months, I've looked at FPV. I stopped looking at it like I'm a 10-year-old child and I just want it. I just want it. Like I really understand how much I wreck stuff and that I need to come into this FPV world a lot smarter. So that was another huge reason why I had to soften up and I had to reach out to people and the professionals that are being like honest and neutral, like you and like Zoe and those real inspiring people is like who I've been watching more, just because like you guys are sending a better message than a lot of the other stuff that I had to weave through before, you know. So I really appreciate you guys, and I really hope like this is the beginning of a bunch more cool things like in the future.
Well, Trey would be the perfect person to ask. Trey, He's been looking at FPVs recently and come across the fact that everyone, it seems, directs you to building your own in the end. Is that really the way you should be starting? Is that the best route? Build it, know how it works.
Yep, there's no question about that. There's no reason why anybody should have to buy just a ready-to-fly or ready-to-build drone unless you're talking about a really small kid, and even then they can learn how to build. You know, I mean, I've worked with ASL or Aerial Sports League on so many different occasions where we go out and we do these build clinics, and we're teaching first graders how to build and fly these drones. Wow. So there's no reason why, you know, somebody cannot do it. They're just too easy now, you know.
Man, we're struggling here, man. I got London drugs in Walmart. I'm
online
dying.
Online.
Well, yeah, but even what he just said, like, why isn't there something like that around, you know?
Trey, so what are you looking for? When you're looking for a frame, for example, what are you looking for and what do you kind of avoid?
Well, you know, that just depends on really what kind of flying style that you're going to want to do. If you're going for racing, then you're going to want to keep your frame light. And most of the time, it's a smaller frame, so you're not really too worried about running a GoPro. And that goes back to keeping the weight down. But if you want a freestyle frame, then you're going to go for something a little bit longer, a little bit heavier that you can put a little bit larger of a battery on and a GoPro. That way you can get that freestyle footage. You know, I don't know. It really just, it all depends. You guys mentioned Armaton to me the other day, and, you know, I absolutely agree that Armaton makes some really, really good frames. Man, I have seen some amazing crashes with those frames, and people just brush them off and usually put on a new prop or two, and that's it. They're back in the air, man. So those frames are solid.
That Gab 707 guy, he's from Montreal. He's really good. That's exactly where I want to be. Like, you know, he's nerd guy. Do the mountain rides. That's all I want to do, bro. Like, yeah. I can die after one or two flights like he does. I can die a happy man.
Yeah, Gabriel is oh god, that guy. He's an amazing, amazing pilot and so smart. He's got a PhD in physics. I mean, the dude is like blown away smart. And
he looks like he's like 15.
He's not. Yeah.
That was just so funny.
And another thing about Gab is that just like everybody else, man, if you reach out to him, like, he won't not talk to you. I mean, he's cool as shit.
He already told me the other day. He told me it would be like probably $1,500, a little bit under, to get exactly what he's getting. And I was
And that's another thing, man. Is he'll like literally tell you everything that you need to get. So it's not like he's not looking at you like, oh shit, I don't want this guy going out there and trying to get the footage that I'm getting. He's like, yeah, go out there and get it, man. I'll even help you build it. And that's that's the thing about this hobby.
Right after awesome. I talked to you, I messaged him. Like, I've had a little bit more chip on my shoulder now that, you know, somebody said yes. It's just nice for somebody to say yes, right? I've had a lot of no's for the last 8 months. So it's, you were like super, I honestly had butterflies all day. I was super excited for this. This is like a big game for me. Like I said, this is my world now. And I got a whole bunch of different aspects of it that I'm doing, but droning and the Drone King is just my bread and butter. It just makes me feel warm and gushy, and it makes me feel like I'm on the right path. So, like, I'm really hoping
for you, dude.
A friendship out of this, but more advice than anything, bro.
Yep. Well, I'm not the most versed as far as buying really good equipment, but I know the best pilots out there, and I can dang sure direct you to them. You know, and there's a lot of really, really good groups on Facebook who there's just tons and tons of people waiting to help. You know, again, another thing that I love about this industry, man, is everybody's always willing to help. And I know that you said that you got a bunch of no's, you know, and usually people do at the beginning. You know, but you got to make a name for yourself somehow, man, and stay at it, which is exactly what you're doing. So good on you. And I think you guys will go somewhere.
Trey, I got to ask you, because you've been in it, what do you say, 7 years now?
Yeah.
7 years. Okay. And so you would have chatted to a lot of people, interviewed a lot of people. What would you say is your most memorable or funniest or weirdest experience so far doing what you do?
The most memorable, well, aside from the first little cliff experience that I told you guys about in Sedona,
we just watched that and we put it on YouTube too.
Yeah. Yeah. We showed that on our live stream on YouTube while you were talking about it. It was deadly.
Nice, man. I think it's probably funny and memorable in the same experience. We were doing our first trip of drone tripping, and it was me, Sean Taylor, Colby Curtola, Zoe, Shelby Vole, and our camera crew. And we were on our way to the Bonneville Salt Flats. We were somewhere in Utah. Like, there was this exit. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. There was this exit off the interstate. There was a Chevron and a Denny's, and that was it. And we were all starving. We were in two RVs. We pulled over and we're all just sitting there chilling. It was us, one other couple in the restaurant, and like a cook and a waitress. And so this couple gets up, starts to walk out of the restaurant, and stops and looks at us, and they're like, "Are you the guys from Drone Tripping?" We're like, "Yeah, man." And they're like, "Dude, we've been following you guys for the past couple of days on Instagram and Facebook." And it was just like, wait a second. We're in the middle of freaking nowhere. Like I'm telling you, man, there was nothing there. It was interstate, mountains, and that was it. And these guys, they just like, they recognized us, they said something to us. And then from then on, it was like, it was really crazy. We had people like honking at us, you know, and flashing and, you know, and recognizing us on Instagram and Facebook. It was really, really fun. It was funny. It was amazing. And just the fact that it happened like right there in the middle of freaking nowhere, it was really cool. But aside from that, man, I mean, I've been all over. I've had some really good experiences. I've met a lot of really, really cool and special people in this hobby. And there is no other line of work that I would ever, ever, ever consider ever again in my life.
We have to give you a plug. We have to tell people who you are. This is Trey Player. Now, Trey, where do people go to find your stuff? I know on LinkedIn, you've got a ton of stuff.
Yeah, I'm everywhere, man. For the most part, I operate on Facebook just because that's where everybody else is. I have a lot of posts on Instagram. You guys can find me at them. That's just straight up Trey Player. I do a lot of photography posts there. On Facebook, I run and manage so many groups. It's absolutely ridiculous right now.
That's your specialty too, right?
Say again?
That's your specialty too. You do social media content, right?
Yep. I do a lot of social media marketing and management for myself and for other companies. Right now, I'm primarily working with China Hobby Line and Foxeer, both some of the best companies that I've ever worked with and make some of the best products in this industry, that's for sure.
Right on. That's cool, man. That's really cool. I can't wait to learn, man.
Yeah.
You think like, honestly, like I have high expectations for myself, but I know I'm gonna wreck a ton of stuff. But how hard is it really to keep one of those in the air?
He's awesome, by the way, at flying, just so you know.
When you switch off that auto stabilization for the first time, you're gonna crash within the first 3 seconds. I mean, you'll be lucky to make it to five.
No way!
Oh God, yes. Oh God, be so intimidated. You're gonna shake. You know, it's so amazing, man.
I'm sweating, bro.
Yeah,
I'm sweating.
You should be. It's so fun though. But here's the thing is that once you fly like that for the first couple of minutes and you're like, okay, I get it. I get how things operate. I get how it works. I understand how to keep it level and how to keep it in the air without crashing it. And your goggles down. It changes everything. And then you go out and you start flying. You're just like a little birdie. You stay around your nest at first, you get more comfortable. And once you leave the nest, you go out there and you start flying. And then you do your first roll or your first flip. And you're like, holy shit, I can't believe I just did that. Let's do it again. And that's exactly how it is, man. And from then on, your entire style of flight changes, the way that you look at everything and the way that you look at the places in which you choose to fly completely changes. No longer are you a DJI pilot just looking for that beautiful shot. Now you're driving by a park going, damn, I wonder if I can fit underneath that slide, And that's how it is, man. You pass through churches. I've like seen guys fly in the parking lot of Ace Hardware, and it's like some of the best flights that you'll ever see. And you're like, and you think about it, and you're like, wait a second. I'm hanging out in a parking lot in Ace Hardware, flying around a freaking lamppost, having the most fun that I've ever had, And it's the little things like that just blow me away about this hobby. Yeah, I don't know, man. There's so many things combined that just go, wow.
I'm fired up, man. I can't wait. But the best part of it is like I don't want it easy. Like I want to learn some hard lessons, and like it's almost like a double-edged sword for me calling myself the Drone King, because like I'm very competitive. So like for now I'm like, whatever, everybody hate on me. It makes me want to win and want to do it right even better, which is why I kind of bucked up. And I'm like kind of like trying to learn a little bit more, and so I don't completely come in like a clown and ruin my life. Ruin the Drone King. I'm excited.
Trey, just so maybe to sum it up, like it'd be interesting to know, where do you think the drone sector is going to go? What's the future for drones in your world? Like, and that's hard to say. Maybe in the next 2 years, because technology evolves so quickly, right?
Oh God, when I think of where drones are gonna go, sorry, I'm going outside, I gotta get the grill started. When I think of where drones are gonna go, I always imagine Terminator. I mean, I say it, but it's true. They're gonna start getting militarized even more so than what they are. As far as the private sector and industrial sector, God, there's really no end. I mean, immediately they started using them in Japan for precision agriculture and other things along those lines. They're starting to use them more openly now for search and rescue. Thank God, there's just so much potential there.
You too, man.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. 3D mapping is another amazing approach that can be used. So I don't know, man. I mean, there's so many ways. I think that once they go nanotech with them, that it's going to be a big time game changer there, and that's going to happen. I'm already hearing plans for militaries to do stuff along those lines. But anyways, yeah, I don't know, man.
We're just gonna worry about doing the good, right? That's all we care about.
Yeah,
Trey,
that's
you are absolutely amazing. Could we ask you back in the future for more discussions as we go along?
yeah heck yeah. I'd be happy to come back anytime, you guys.
Really cool. And maybe throw a little poke or a nudge to Zoe the champ.
We've touched base
We
with
want to touch
message,
base,
yeah.
but if you could like kind of just ease it in and be like, I think it'll be all right.
Have both of you on here, right?
Yeah, that'd be
Yeah, of
cool.
course. It wouldn't surprise me if she is not listening in right now, to be honest. But yeah, she'll hear about it, and I'm sure that she'd be happy to come on and help you guys out.
Trey Blair, you are awesome. Thank you. Oh,
Thank
hang
you,
on, hang on
sir.
a minute. We've got this for you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yes.
It's that GIF mask where you see
They love me. They really love me.
People love me.
Right on, Matt.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank
You
you.
get back to cooking.
Yep. Thank you guys. I appreciate it. Y'all have a good night.
See
Cheers,
ya.
man.
Bye.
All right. Bye.